The reading for this evening will be from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work.
Always good to be with you tonight. We began this morning with just a two-part lesson dealing with church growth. And we understand how important, or we should understand at least, how important, how crucial it is that we as a congregation grow. The fact of the matter is, congregations, and I may repeat this again next week when we set forth our plan of growth, but congregations, no matter who they are, where they're located, lose members in at least four ways. Number one, we don't like to think about it, but sometimes, of course, death occurs. That is something that every congregation experiences. Number two, sometimes members will move because of jobs or because of family or something along those lines, but congregations regularly lose members by moving away. Some move away. Number three, some just get dissatisfied with something. It might be the preacher. It might be decisions that the elders make. It might be a brother or sister within the congregation who offends them, but they just decide to leave and go to another congregation. That happens to every congregation. And of course, number four, some just simply leave the faith. And here at Brown Street, you know, as you think about those ways that we lose members that I just mentioned, I think you probably know just even off the top of your head that you have lost members through the years in all four of those ways. Any congregation that is of any size at all and that has been in existence for any amount of time will lose members in those ways. And so logically, those members have to be replaced. And if they are not replaced, then the congregation is going to get smaller and smaller numerically. And we see that even with several congregations in this area, but all across the country, because there are too many congregations that are not growing. And so there are very important reasons why we should be interested in growing numerically here at Brown Street. We never want to overestimate the salvation of souls. When we start talking about growing, the most important thing is that souls are being saved. If we are truly growing, one of the distinctions that I'll make again, perhaps next week when we talk about it a little bit, but sometimes congregations swell instead of grow. And that happens when they receive several members from other congregations. Now, I'm not opposed to swelling a little bit. There's certain situations that one might be uncomfortable with when that sort of thing happens. We certainly don't want other congregations to lose members and that sort of thing, but all congregations swell as well. And sometimes it's situations that we might be comfortable with. But really, when it comes down to church growth, what we really want is not swelling. We want to grow because we're baptizing individuals into Christ. We're saving souls. And certainly, though, one way or another, a congregation that doesn't grow in any fashion numerically is going to be in trouble over the years. It may take, as I said this morning, it may take 20 years, it may take 30 years. But a congregation that is not growing is going to head in the wrong direction. So with that in mind, then, this morning we started looking at this sermon, Nehemiah, Planning to Build. And if you weren't here this morning, we emphasized that the same principles that Nehemiah used to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem can be used and employed by us to build up the Brown Street Church of Christ. And so we looked at five things this morning. First of all, it all begins with caring. We must care. Every member here at Brown Street must care. We certainly must pray because we recognize that it is God that adds the increase, that growth is caused by God. And that being the case, we ought to be praying to God. Every member here should be praying every day for the Brown Street Church of Christ. And then we talked about planning, how important it is that we plan. Church growth does not come about by simply an off-the-cuff kind of impulsive situation. It always comes, at least sustainable growth, by planning to grow. And so as we said this morning, we have to not only plan to grow, we have to work that plan. We have to make sure that we have a plan, and then we have to put it into practice. But we have to plan. We must, number four, we said, ignore the critics. Because clearly there'll always be critics out there. When you really get busy and start standing up for Christ and you let your light shine, people are going to be offended. People are going to mock you and ridicule you. Some people will laugh at you because of your Christianity. That's just the way it is. But sometimes, again, we'll be a little bit surprised by the source of the criticism. Sometimes they'll come from within. Sometimes from other brethren who might not like some things that are going on here at Brown Street. Or sometimes it might come even from within the local congregation. Remember, Nehemiah got some criticism from within Judah. And that's just the way that is. But we can't allow the critics to stop us. We have to ignore that criticism and keep building. And then number five, we talked about the importance of using every member with the emphasis that everyone here is important. Every single member that we have is valuable, regardless of who you are, young or old, married or single, regardless of your financial situation, regardless of, again, how long you've been a Christian. Every single member at Brown Street is critical to our growth. And we need you. We need each other. And so we need to use every single person here at Brown Street to grow. Every joint. Paul in Ephesians 4 and at verse 16 spoke about every joint supplying. And that's what we need if we're going to have sustainable growth. But now tonight, we want to look then at six more points. And we're going to go pretty quickly. One of the great things about these points, really, is that they're self-explanatory. And we can make several comments or just a few comments. And I think still we can just understand if we apply these things, we'll be in good shape. And so the sixth point is simply this. We must not quit when others won't work. Now, remember, our goal is to get everybody to cooperate. To get every single member to participate and have a real part in the growing process of the Brown Street Church. But we're not naive about it. And we realize that there are some people in the body of Christ that won't work. No matter how much you encourage, no matter how much you plead, there are some people who simply will not be willing to work. We need to do our very best to make sure that that number is few. But that is just a reality of it. We wish it wasn't the case, but that's a reality. It was true when Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. In Nehemiah 3 at verse 5, it says, "Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites made repairs." But watch. It says, "But their nobles did not support the work of their masters." Now, that's all we're told about that situation. We don't know exactly why the nobles wouldn't participate in this great work. It may be that they just thought it wasn't such a great work. Maybe they didn't think it was important. Maybe they were too sophisticated to do it. Maybe they didn't want to get their hands dirty. Or maybe they were just plain lazy. We don't know. But their nobles wouldn't work. And that is, again, just the way it is with local churches of Christ. Some aren't going to work. What we have to avoid is the domino effect. Sometimes we take the attitude, well, if they're not going to work, I'm not going to work. And that sort of mentality begins to spread throughout the congregation. Before you know it, nobody is working. Or just a small, faithful few are working. And when you hear that kind of language, we talk about the faithful few in local congregations. Listen to me. When you have a faithful few, growth is not sustainable. It's great for those who are the faithful few. But the fact of the matter is we need more than that. So we can't allow that mentality to take hold. Our attitude should be, I'm going to work, whether you work or not. Like Jeremiah, when he talked about serving the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And certainly Joshua wanted all the other children of Israel to serve God and to put away false gods and not serve the gods on the other side of the river. That's what he wanted. But at the end of the day, he said, I know what we're going to do. I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to lead my family in that direction. And we all have to choose. At the end, we realize that we're all accountable for our own souls. And so we can't fall into that mentality, if you won't work, I won't work. We need to try to get everybody involved, but if some people won't, so be it. Let's just keep working. In fact, it's sort of impressive with this particular family. It says at verse 27, and after them, the Tekoites repaired another section in front of the great projecting tower and as far as the wall of Ophel. Now, you think about that. They had their part. They were assigned a particular part of the wall to rebuild or to repair. And their nobles wouldn't participate for whatever reason. But now we find they finished their section and then they moved on to do another section. They didn't allow the fact that their nobles wouldn't work stop them from doing the job. That's the mentality that we must have. So we must not quit when others won't work. Number seven, we shouldn't go looking for a fight. There are some who love controversy. There are preachers like that who simply aren't satisfied unless there's some kind of trouble, unless there's some kind of spiritual fight that they are engaged in. And they just feed on controversy, and sometimes we can fall into that kind of thinking. We have to keep our focus. It doesn't mean we run from a fight, spiritually speaking. Obviously, there's going to have to be some warfare that takes place. We are soldiers in the army of Christ. That's why Paul said that we must put on the whole armor of God. There are times when we're going to have to engage in spiritual battle. There's no question about that. The devil is alive and active. There are all kinds of isms out there that we have to fight against. Denominationalism and liberalism and humanism and atheism and all kinds of isms. And we can't be afraid to fight. But at the same time, we must recognize what our true goal is. We're not fighters, we're builders. We're fishers of men. And that's what we ought to be about. And again, we see the balance there in Nehemiah chapter 4 at verse 7. It's sort of interesting. It says, and those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried the burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. And you can sort of picture that in your mind, can't you? The point of it, they never stopped building. If they had to fight, they were willing to fight. They were ready to fight. They had weapons to fight with, but they never put down their working tool. They continue to build no matter what. And building should be our mission. When we have to stop and fight, so be it. But at the same time, we don't have to give up the building. We don't have to exchange one for another. We may have to hold a weapon in one hand, figuratively speaking, and the spiritual sword in the other hand, but we're going to keep on building no matter what. That has to be our mentality. Number eight, God is on our side. And we can't forget that. It is an awesome responsibility to do what I'm talking about this Lord's Day. The idea of building up a local church, winning souls to Christ, there is no higher endeavor than that. It's important work, and sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. Nehemiah said, I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. And it is, isn't it? We stop and think about Akron, Ohio, and how many people out there are lost. All the people we work with, the majority of people we work with or go to school with or associate with are lost. And sometimes we can get overwhelmed with what a important and awesome work that we're involved in. But that shouldn't slow us down. We just need to do all that we can. And one thing that can help us is realize that God is on our side. At verse 20 it says, whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. We're not in this thing alone. And we need to trust in God. Sometimes we limit everything we do just to our own capability without believing and trusting in God to help us. We must walk by faith and not by sight. We can build up the Brown Street Church of Christ. We can set goals and meet those goals. We can do wonderful things, great things here at this local church, but we need the help of God. And we should never forget, while it can sometimes be overwhelming, it is really God's fight. In fact, look over. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I'm sure we're all familiar with David and Goliath and what took place there in that battle. But it's interesting, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the wording of David at verse 46, he says to Goliath, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Well, why was it that David was so confident, even though he was up against a massive giant, he was confident that he was going to gain the victory on that day? It was obviously because he was a man of great faith, but he realized something else. This really, even this individual battle with Goliath, it really wasn't his fight. It was God's fight. Did you notice that he said that there at verse 47? "For the battle is the Lord's." And I don't think we can afford to forget that. As we get really busy here at Brown Street and we start doing things and we look at the extensive work that is involved in building up a local church, we can't forget that we're just foot soldiers in this thing. The battle really belongs to God. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. It's his battle. He's warring against the devil. He's just using us as earthly vessels to accomplish his will. But at the end of the day, it's his will. It's his fight. And so he's going to be with us. God will fight for us. And when we stop and think about that, even when we get a little overwhelmed by the awesome nature of what we're trying to accomplish, we won't quit because we realize God is for us and God is working with us. He's on our side. Then number 9, growth takes hard work. And that's somewhat related to some of the things I just said, but we just need to get in our mind, even as we just get started in all of this, if we're going to grow as a local congregation, it's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to take some hard work. It's going to take some sweat and toil from all of us. That's just the nature of it. You want to know why some local churches don't grow? Just to speak plainly, some local churches don't think it's worth the work. Some people just aren't committed enough to sweat and toil. It's too hard. It is not an easy thing to build up a local church. As we've been saying, it takes the effort of each and every member of the local church. It takes consistency if we're going to sustain it. It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. And some people just don't think it's worth it. But it there's no question that we need to get in our mind how hard it is. And so Nehemiah said, "We carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared." I'm quite certain that a lot of these folks, they were working harder than they ever worked before when they were rebuilding the wall. And it wasn't enough just to put in 5 minutes of service and then go home. They worked all day long. It was hard work. And that work that they were doing, while it was physical, it pales in comparison to what we're trying to do in winning souls to Christ and making a congregation to be alive and vibrant and growing and excited and baptizing people and strengthening Christians. There's work involved in that. And you'll see, especially when we start baptizing people, now you have to deal. Listen, you can't baptize people and then just say, "All right, let's move on to the next." You have to work with the babes in Christ. You have to put effort in helping them to grow. You can't just let babes allow to just wander around all by themselves. It's not healthy. They won't make it. And when you convert people from the world, which is what we want to do, And people with various backgrounds, they have struggles and they have baggage, and there's all kinds of things you're going to have to deal with when we really start growing and baptizing people. It's hard work. The question is, do you think it's worth it? If you don't have in your mind, even before we begin, that I'm willing to put in the time, I'm willing to put in the work, if we collectively don't have that kind of mindset, then we're not going to have sustainable growth. I like the passage that our good brother read for us from Nehemiah 4:6. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. That's what we need here at Brown Street. It starts right now. All of us making up in our mind. Maybe you haven't thought about growth. Maybe you've been satisfied with where we are. This already, after all, is a fine congregation and has accomplished many things over the years. But now, we want to turn your attention to being better and being stronger and improving in areas of weaknesses. And especially in the realm of evangelism and winning souls to Christ and all that that involves. But we have to have a mind to work. You have to show up when it's time to go do evangelistic work. You have to be willing, as I said a moment ago, to make sacrifices when it's time to teach classes to babes in Christ. You have to have a mind to work. If we don't develop that mind, then we won't grow. It's just as simple as that. But we can develop that. I'm confident that we will. But we need to put that in our mind right now. It's hard work to grow. Number 10, we have to solve internal problems. And that's critical, particularly with a growing church, that you don't just ignore problems when they arise. Again, all local congregations have problems. Why? The church is made up of people. And people make mistakes, people sin, people fall short, and people offend each other from time to time. And some people get off track in the local church. It's easy for that to happen, for Christians to lose their way and problems arise. It might be some false doctrine being taught or whatever it might be. It might be individuals gossiping or just a long list of things that can become problematic for a growing church. And I'm saying to you now, when those things arise, we can't just stick our head in the sand. We have to do something about it. We have to strive to solve the problem. I've always liked this passage, Proverbs 22, verse 10. Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. You have a problem with someone gossiping, what do? You take action. You got problem with sin in the camp, what do? You take action. You have a problem with someone who is not attending like they should, forsaking the assembly, what do? Stick your head in the sand. No, you deal with that problem. As problems arise, we have to nip them in the bud, or else they become a deterrent to growth. I've always, again, appreciated what happened in the early church. Remember, the early church was a thriving, growing church. In Acts chapter 2, you remember 3,000 souls were baptized. In Acts chapter 5, it's implied that another couple thousand obeyed the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 6, we find that the number of the disciples were multiplying. But also in Acts chapter 6, you remember that a problem arose in that particular local church. Notice at verse 1, it says, "And now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" So this was a real problem. The church is doing great. This is before the full persecution really kicked in. Right now, the people were still having favor with all the people. The persecution has begun a little bit, as we have seen or about to see in our study in the book of Acts in chapter 4, but it's not on any large scale by any stretch of the imagination. Things are good. But the one thing that could stop the early church in its track is problems from within. Complaining and murmuring and that sort of thing. And that's exactly what happens in Acts chapter 8. But the apostles, they don't just ignore it. They address it head on. And we notice then at verse 5 it says, the statement found approval with the whole congregation and they chose Stephen. And let's just drop down a little bit. At verse 6 it says, And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7 is what I want. It says, the word of the Lord kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They had a problem. It could have just destroyed them, but instead they addressed it, and the word just kept on spreading. That's what we want at Brown Street. You can rest assured, problems will arise. You've had problems in the past. That's just the nature of people. But one thing you can't do is ignore it. We have to deal with problems when they arise. And then, finally, we can't get bogged down with trivial things. We have to remember what our mission is. What our purpose is as a local congregation. Our mission is the same as the mission of Christ. We're just an extension of Him. His work didn't quit when He went back to heaven. We have to remember that He now is working through His church, through us. And what was His mission? Why did He give up the riches of heaven in the first place? The record says that He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's our mission. That's our primary mission, and we can't get bogged down with things. It's interesting. Go back one more time over to Nehemiah, this time chapter 6. In chapter 6, the enemies of Nehemiah did all that they could to distract him. Nehemiah chapter 6, and at verse 1, it says, and now when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and that no breach remained in it, although at the time I had not set up the doors in the gate. And so they're getting pretty close to finishing this thing. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at Kephirim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Point is, Nehemiah wouldn't be distracted. I'm doing a great work. He knew they weren't sincere. He knew they were just trying to harm him, but he wouldn't quit the work. He wouldn't let them distract him no matter what. And that has to be our mentality. As we go forward from this day, I hope it's in the mind of all of us. We want to grow. We see the need. We see how essential it is for us to grow. And yes, we want to grow spiritually. And we want to grow closer to each other in love. That's all a part of it. But we too want to grow numerically. And we want to be winning souls. And let's always make that our main purpose as a congregation. I've seen congregations lose focus and get too bogged down with material things, with the building and that sort of thing. They just lose their focus. There are some congregations. In fact, there are many, many congregations right now. I see it, as I said when I first arrived here at Brown Street. I see in many gospel meetings that I hold an utter lack of evangelistic effort. Many congregations are still and stagnant because they're not doing any personal work at all. And if you listen to them, that you'll hear them talk about how sound they are. And, you know, we stand for the truth now. And we don't use the Lord's money for anything except those things that God has authorized. We're a sound, conservative congregation. That's wonderful. That's critical. But we have to do more than just be sound, conservative in how we use the Lord's money, the kind of work that we do congregationally. We have to be thinking of soul winning. That has to be what we're obsessed with. We can't allow anything else to bog us down and cause our minds to leave that critical mission of winning souls to Christ. Collectively, that should be our mindset. But individually, too. Each and every one of you should be thinking all the time, it should be on your mind. And when we set forth the plan next week, we're going to give you some tools that will help that always be on your mind. When you go to work, when you go to school, wherever you go, you should be thinking evangelism. Where's a prospect? Who can I win to Christ? How can I set up a Bible study? And you can imagine, if 200 people are thinking like that and thinking like that every single day, you can imagine some good things are going to happen. The scary thing about growth is some things are out of our hands. It's the Lord that adds the increase, and the increase being added a lot has a lot to do with the kind of hearts that are contacted with the gospel. Some things we have no control over. But the more active we are, the more we work, the more opportunity we'll have to do good things and bring people to Jesus. But we can't be distracted, and we can't get bogged down. We can't let other people take our mind off of what is really important. Growth, winning souls to Christ, maintaining a standard of excellence that we want to have. So, 11 principles. As I said this morning, we'll print out these principles and maybe put them on the communication table. But we want all of you to have these things in your mind. These are valuable principles that, if applied, can help us to grow. There's no question about that. As I said originally, this was a sermon. Basically, he gave me the outline just as you see it. A few slight changes, but basically the way you see it. The church grew from 90 to 190 in 3 years. That's not turning the world upside down, but I think most of us would be pleased with that kind of increase over the next 3 years. But they increased because they took these principles. They didn't let it go in one ear and out the next. It wasn't just some principles that some preacher preached and then we just forget about it. They made these things personal. They made application of all of these principles, and the church grew. Wasn't anything special. They didn't have anything we don't have. In fact, as we get started, we're a much stronger congregation than that congregation at 40th in Monta Vista was when they first started to apply these principles. We have a lot going for us, but we're not entitled to anything. This has been a strong church for many years because of good leadership, good elders. You've had outstanding preachers all through the years. We have, of course, a lot of good families, a lot of good people, married and single, that stand for Christ, that love the Lord. We have all kinds of things going for us, but we're not entitled to anything. Don't think just because Brown Street has been strong for many years that somehow, some way, it is always going to be the case. It's our responsibility to assure that Brown Street continues to be a strong church and even grows and gets better. We have to apply these principles, and I'm hoping that we will, and that we can get everyone to participate in the plan that we set forth on next week. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we haven't said a whole lot about coming to Christ. All that we've been talking about this Lord's Day has to do with our responsibility in the church. But the fact of the matter is, before you have any responsibility in a local church, you have to first develop a relationship with God. You have to obey the gospel. And there isn't anything more important than that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 at verse 16. The gospel says you must repent and be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38. And after you do that, and you come out of the waters of baptism, a new creature, your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, then you can get busy and join with God's people in working the works of God. But first, you have to become a Christian. We certainly hope that you'll do that tonight if you're outside the ark of safety. Maybe you didn't come to be baptized, but again, Acts 2:38 says that you have to. It's for the forgiveness of sins. Why not take that step? Why not be saved? And be saved right now as we together stand and sing.